Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
The story goes that three clergy met for breakfast because the news was very disturbing. A massive meteorite was hurling toward planet Earth. On Tuesday or Wednesday of the following week, the world would end as we know it. The three people, ministers, got together. The young Baptist minister said he expected his church would be full on the last Sunday of worship on planet Earth. He said, "I will preach John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I will bring many people to Christ before the end." The seasoned Catholic priest said, "For my last sermon, I will focus on Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. I will share one last time with the faithful the great truth of the Catholic tradition." The thoughtful Episcopal priest waited for a moment and then slowly acknowledged, "On this last Sunday of worship on planet Earth," she said, "I will preach from the lections appointed." In other words, we are, if you will, both and, a people of order, but also a people sensitive to the times in which we live, mindful of the end and heavenly things, but firmly planted in this world. Not a spiritualized faith is ours, yet it is spirit-filled, but an incarnate faith, an embodied faith. I think it's William Temple who said that Anglicans are much more a people of Christmas than of Easter. We really do take seriously this incarnation, this incarnate faith. In today's gospel, Jesus could have been very anxious about the end that was coming. He could have been like the Baptist minister or the Catholic priest. He could have decided to change, if you will, his message. But for Jesus, it seems, as he was pulled toward Jerusalem, it was business as usual. All of his ministry was about casting out demons and healing the sick. It was a message that he would do until the end. "I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will finish my work." As he goes to Jerusalem to meet his death, Jesus continues his ministry of confronting evil and healing the sick. Jerusalem pulls Jesus into his final days, his final hours to Golgotha. And Jesus keeps doing what he had always been doing. "Blessed indeed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Lent, I would submit, is a good time for us to look at what we do and what we've always done. The Book of Common Prayer invites us to do this with a lovely invitation. Like Jesus, we are being called to Jerusalem, that heavenly city. What are we doing as we journey between now and then? All of us know that at some point God will call us into the larger life. George Herbert, the great Anglican divine, ends one of his poems, "The Collar," which is not about ordained ministry, by the way, so don't get excited. He ends this poem with these poignant words: "Methought I heard one calling child, and I replied, my Lord. Until the day we hear the Lord call us child, we must find the grace of living the life in Christ. The grace of living the life in Christ is to accept that God will never be through with us until God calls us home as His child, as His beloved child. Several months ago, I visited the Billy Graham Museum in Charlotte. Now, I could have done without the talking cow. If you've been there, you know what I mean. But I will never forget the engraving on the rough-hewn stone at the grave of Ruth Bell Graham. It simply said, under construction. It was a sign that she and Billy Graham saw on a rural road in North Carolina, and she never forgot it. Under construction. I invite you this Lent to accept that you are under construction. This is the grace and mercy of God. Eric Milner White, who gave Anglicanism the first service of 9 lessons and carols on Christmas Eve in 1918, has a lovely poem about Lent. He celebrates the grace of Lent, not the discipline of Lent, not the starkness of Lent, but the sheer grace of self-examination, the sheer grace of these 40 days. He says, Lord, bless to me this Lent. Let me fast by feeding in prayer on thy Spirit. Reveal me to myself in the light of holiness. Suffer me never to think that I have knowledge enough to need no teaching, wisdom enough to need no correction, talents enough to need no grace, goodness enough to need no progress, humility enough to need no repentance, devotion enough to need no quickening, strength sufficient without thy Spirit. Let our Lenten prayer be an act of thanksgiving as we experience the grace of Lent, the grace of journeying with Christ, with Jesus Himself to Jerusalem. May we accept ourselves as people under construction who will one day hear very clearly God say to each of us, child. And may we with glad hearts pray, reveal me to myself, O Lord, in the light of your holiness.